Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC-LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
I'm Dan Gould, sitting in for Rick Moore. Rick returns next Sunday. Some of the biggest advances in technology have been credited to women. In 1842, Ada Lovelace was the first person to publish an algorithm to be executed by a computer. And Rear Admiral Grace Hopper invented the COBOL programming language in the 1960s. More recently, women have headed up such large high-tech firms as Hewlett-Packard and Yahoo. Still, women are sadly underrepresented in technology jobs today. The local organization Charlottesville Women in Tech hopes to change all of that. With us in studio to talk about the role of women in technology are Kim Wilkins. Kim is passionate about transforming technology users into technology creators, collaborators, and activists. At the grassroots level, she founded Tech Girls with a mission to empower girls to imagine and achieve their future in our tech-savvy world. As a K-8 Computer Science Initiative Coordinator, Kim has led St. Anne's Belfield School to the fore of the national movement to bring computer science to K-12 students. And Jessica Otey. Jessica is a tech retread, and I'm seriously hoping we get to find out what that means, who believes firmly that there is no such thing as a non-tech person. She joined the board of Charlottesville Tech and Women, where she serves as vice president, to combat the common stereotypes about the tech world and to encourage women of all ages to apply their skills, creativity, and tech interests and careers. A former humanities professor, she currently works as a system administrator for Weld Health, a local tech startup. And last but not least, Elise Kane. Elise is a software developer and at IO Education and chapter leader for the Central Virginia chapter of Girl Develop It. Before making a career change into tech, Elise worked as a rules official and tournament director in the golf industry. Life changes then brought her to Charlottesville. While working at a local nonprofit, she was put in charge of their website. With no web experience, she took a Girl Develop It class in HTML and CSS. She loved learning about web development, so she took more GDI classes, found Charlottesville Women in Tech and support and networking, and made a complete career change. Now she is organizing Girl Develop It classes locally so that other women can level up their technical skills and become content creators. Good morning to you all.
Good morning. Thank you.
I thought we might start with each of you talking a little bit about how you came to be involved in Charlottesville Women in Tech.
You can just call it CWIT.
Okay. And I think we'll start with you, Kim.
Sure. So I've been a Women in Tech for my whole life, I guess, career. I graduated with a computer science degree in 87, worked at IBM, and then did some web development, and sort of stumbled into teaching technology. And while I was doing that, I had to create curriculum because there was nothing out there. And I went to this conference in 2010 to learn about technology curriculum. But what I found instead is this staggering statistic that only 18% of computer science graduates were women. And when I was going to school, it was 37%. So somewhere along the line, this trajectory had, changed for women and gone down. And I knew that technology was a hugely important field, and to not have women at the table, just was a problem for me. And so after that, it kept stewing with me, and I decided to found Tech Girls in 2012 because I wanted to try to see locally how we could get more girls interested in technology and computer science. And then as I was building that organization, I was getting connected with more women in tech to help out, and we kind of evolved it into getting a 501c3 related to Charlottesville Women in Tech, and now Tech Girls is under that umbrella.
Jessica?
So Elise and I are tech retreads, and tech retread means that it's not our first career. So unlike him, I did not have any tech formal. I was actually a professor of Italian in my previous life. And when I asked my husband, who is a professor of computer science, what I should do for my second career, since academia clearly was not going to work out for me, he said, any trained monkey can be a system administrator, which is sort of a joke. But anyway, through a combination of self-study and I started to get interested in system administration, which is basically babysitting computers. You maintain the infrastructure that all sort of software runs on. And so I came back to Charlottesville. I was on sabbatical. Well, my husband was on sabbatical, and I was there with him. And I came back, and I was like, okay, I'm going to reboot my career. And I realized that one of the most important things I could do was network. So I discovered Charlottesville Women in Tech as part of just reaching out to the community and see how I could leverage other people's skills and knowledge to start my new career.
Excellent. Elise?
I'm excited to now call myself a tech retread. That's that's a new term for me. But I took my first class in HTML and CSS because I was working at the local nonprofit, found out it was really exciting, and was kind of introduced to this whole thought that I could change careers and get into tech. Previously, I kind of missed the boat. I thought that especially programming was something that you did need a formal education for, and it sounds like there's a lot of people in this industry that are self-taught. So while I was reading lots of blog posts and things about how do I, you know, change my career into tech, basically all of them say at the end of it, well, you have to start networking. So you start looking around and figuring out, well, how am I going to start breaking into this? And Charlottesville Women in Tech was starting up at the time. So I started attending basically every single Charlottesville Women in Tech event that I could. And then a lot of the interviews that I got when I actually started to look for a job in software programming, I had contacts and had met people through Charlottesville Women in Tech, and so that got me a lot of interviews. So that was my introduction and experience with women in tech.
All right, so I'd like to start off our program this morning by talking a little bit about how we got to this situation where we have basically a male-dominated field. In December of 2016, First Round, a venture capital firm, released its annual report on the state of startups in the United States. It interviewed more than 700 founders, 83% of whom were male, and found that diversity was still a huge problem in the technology sector. So great, in fact, that 61% of companies are either all male or mostly male, as compared to 8% of companies, which are either all or mostly female. So what's going on here?
Well, there's a lot of things going on here. So one thing that's going on is unconscious bias. So I think when I was going to college, the kind of bias that you saw related to tech was more overt and more obvious. And so it was easier to point to it and say, that's not right. That's not how I should be treated, or something like that. And it became more and more unconscious. So it became more of a problem of, you know, the way that we absorb media and culture and stuff just became internalized. And so the bias was still happening, but it wasn't as obvious. So it was very hard to pinpoint what was going on. And in fact, I did some research on this when I was getting my master's, and somebody found that unconscious bias is much more hard to deal with because you start internalizing and thinking maybe it's your own fault. And so I think it's a very hard thing for women and girls to deal with when they are dealing with it on that unconscious level. I think what we're seeing now is it's coming back out more overt with things like the Google Manifesto, and sort of all of the isms are more overt these days. And so I think that's why you're seeing this resurgence of people really focusing on this problem. So the good news is, you know, that even though it's become more overt, we're now able to focus on it more and point to the areas where there's some serious problems.
11 minutes past the hour, we're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. To you, Jessica.
I think a lot of women our age grew up in a time when computers were gendered male, especially for younger people. I consider myself an exception to that simply by virtue of my father was an early adopter, and so I can't remember not having a computer in my house. And so I never had this idea that computers were for boys, because I was an only child and I was a girl, And so I understood that computers were tools, and it made no difference what your gender was. The computer didn't know. The computer didn't care. But I think a lot of women don't feel that way. I think a lot of women think that tech is about being in a basement alone and not washing your dishes. And that doesn't interest women. But that isn't what tech is about.
Elise?
I think growing up as well, I identified more as a someone who excelled in reading and literature and the arts, and felt that I wasn't succeeding as well in math, and so I kind of turned away from those things that I perceived to be math intensive. And now that I'm in the industry and I'm developing software, there are certainly things that are math intensive, but what I do every day is not necessarily doing mathematical calculations. It's assembling things and thinking, you know, using systems thinking and keeping things organized to develop software applications for K-12 school districts, and that doesn't really involve math. So I think that's also a misnomer that kind of may have gotten us to this position as well.
Yeah, it's surprising. Probably most people don't realize that the lion's share of computer work is not really mathematical. It's data processing, moving data around, doing things with it. It doesn't really require an advanced math degree. Although if you take a computer science degree at pretty much any university, you're going to spend a lot of time doing math. So I wonder what you would all say to the argument that is raised in this issue, that there's just not enough trained women. It seems kind of like a little circular to me. Your comments.
Well, there is obviously some truth to that, because we're not seeing enough women go into studying fields like computer science and engineering and things like that. So there is definitely a pipeline problem. But on the other end of that, there's also a problem of employers seeking diversity and promoting that diversity. And so it's sort of a chicken and egg, but you got to fix both of them problem.
Yeah, Jessica, you said that you were an only child, a girl growing up in a family. Did your parents ever give you the inkling that maybe you shouldn't be interested in technology? Did they encourage you? Were they open, or were they absent? How did they play into your coming toward technology?
I think mostly I viewed computers originally when I was younger the way I viewed home improvement, which is what, like, it was a good skill to have. So I had a screwdriver in my hand at 4, and I had a computer in my house at 4. So to me, they were mostly equivalent in the sense that there was no perception that it was... I mean, I didn't play video games, but I had a computer, so I didn't associate the two as being at all similar.
Right. You know, I'm going to put this in air quotes, which our listeners can't see, but a woman's place is in the home. I mean, that's the message that we have sent out since the 1950s. How do we combat that? How do we get people to understand that women are just as capable in technology jobs as men are? Anybody? Elise?
So I run the local chapter of Girl Develop It, which I view very much as working in conjunction with Charlottesville Women in Tech, and we teach women hard technical skills. So we run classes in HTML and CSS and intro to databases and Python. And I think the thing for us is that we are trying to show, one, that women can learn these skills, and two, I think we can all agree that a more diverse group of folks developing these pieces of software and, you know, developing hardware systems is going to, the end result is going to be better for everyone. So if we can get women trained, and I believe that you can, and then we can get them in these diverse working situations, I think we're going to have a better product overall for a lot of things in tech. And the thing that Girl Develop It really touts is the concept of a growth mindset. So it's not, you know, you can basically learn anything. No one is born learning and knowing how to write semantic HTML. That's something that everyone has had to learn that does that professionally. So we just believe that everyone can learn that, and we'd love to teach that to women. And there's just been so many stories of folks that discover tech and are now have very successful careers in that through our organization and also CWIT.
I'm going to go to Jessica in a second, but is it fair to say that at least in the computer world, that it's more about problem solving than it is about the nuts and bolts of where you put a comma or a dash or whatever in your programs?
It it's both. It's both because you do have to be very tenacious about where those semicolons are. But I think people who succeed in this are thinking about the larger problem and are good at being analytical and working in teams. I think that's the other misnomer, is that the stereotype of the male hacker working in the basement is just so not true. In the real working world, I'm working with teams of people, and communicating with those folks and also with stakeholders outside of whatever you're producing is very, very important. And there are a lot of women that have backgrounds or experience that really are excelling in those, and now we just have to teach them where to put the semicolons. That's just something you can learn.
Right. Jessica, then Kim.
I think there's a stereotype that you have to be in tech, you have to have done tech your whole life. And so if you weren't an 8-year-old programming your basement, you can't get into tech, and that's absolutely not true. I think that, what I do all day is I say I don't know, because the goal when you're in tech is not to make assumptions, because you don't know. Machines are mysterious. They do what you told them to do, not what you wanted them to do. So it's a constant detective process, and there's so many passions and disciplines that can teach you good problem-solving skills. You don't have to start at 8 years old programming necessarily to get into tech later in life. It's great if you're interested in it when you're young, because it, again, like Kim says, it reduces the barriers, but you don't have to be. It's learnable.
Right. Kim?
I was just also going to say that I think how computer science and technology gets taught is really important, and it used to be very much a focus on the language itself and learning about those semicolons and, that kind of stuff. Well, that's not really interesting to a lot of people, but especially girls and women. They want to work on projects. They want to solve problems. And so we're seeing a shift in how these things are being taught. So it's more about starting with a problem and then backing into, okay, how you solve it. Well, you can learn this language and that'll help. So I think that's a big change that we're seeing.
Just a minute or so before we need to break, and I want to talk about a story headline in the November 3rd, 2014 issue of The Atlantic that read, "Too many kids quit science because they don't think they're smart." All right, how does that happen?
Well, I think it goes back to what Elisa's saying with the growth mindset. If you feel like you have to be perfect right away, and you don't feel like if you don't know it first of all, then you can't learn it, that's a huge problem. And I see, I teach K through 8 children, and there is this pressure on them to get good grades and do well. And so they feel like, as soon as they hit something that they're not good at, they don't think they can get better at it. So we really need to work on that idea. And, all my classes that I teach, failure is a huge part of it. And I am very upfront with the kids that I expect you to fail. We all fail, especially when you're working with technology. It never goes right the first time. And for a lot of kids, that is not the way that they've been schooled to date. So
roughly 20 minutes after the hour, almost exactly 20 minutes after the hour, we need to take a break, and we'll be back. We're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. After the break, we'll talk about what Charlottesville Women in Tech are doing to help interested girls and women find a calling in technology. I'm Dan Gould, sitting in for Rick Moore. Please stay with us. We're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. And in a moment, we're going to talk more about the organization. But I just wanted to go back to this, because they don't think they're smart. Talk about the role of media and culture in the perception of science today.
So it's really huge, the impact it has, especially with girls. So what I see is in elementary grades, I'll get equal interest in technology-related activities from the boys and girls. But as we get closer to middle school, and especially 7th, 8th grade, that is where the interest drops off for the girls. And it's because there aren't the role models, there aren't the TV shows, there aren't things that they can look at to show them that this is something that is cool, that other girls are doing. And so that's my hardest challenge is getting the girls in the room. Once I can get in the room and we can do things based on projects and problems, it's good to go. But yeah, we have a real problem. And, you know, even Disney just started a hashtag, Dream Big Princess, to try to, you know, say dream beyond being a princess. But that's kind of what we're dealing with at that level.
I see that MacGyver is getting a reboot this year, and I would have hoped that during for a reboot they would have had a woman play the main character. I mean, that would have been so cool. I don't know. Do you know MacGyver? He solves problems with science. Well, I should say pseudoscience.
TV science.
TV science. Yeah.
MacGyver doesn't get to fail. I think one of the greatest things about what I do a lot of systems administration programmatically. So you basically can build up what is essentially a machine through software because it's simulated. It's what they call a virtual machine. So you can fail as many times as you need, because if it doesn't work, you just start it over again. So it's really iterative. It's iterative problem solving. And it's actually very liberating. You don't have to get it right the first time, because that's not how it works. That's not how it's designed to work.
Right. I think very few people realize that computers are surprisingly hard to break. I mean, you know, you can always restart. You can back up. You can go to the last checkpoint. I mean, there's lots of different ways that you can feel free to experiment with computers and not be so worried that you're going to blow up the world.
And every good idea that's presented to the world has gone through that iterative process where they've failed 100,000 times before.
Sure, exactly. I'd like to move on now to talking more about the organization itself, Charlottesville Women in Tech. And I'm going to read a little bit from your website. Charlottesville Women in Tech, also known as CWIT. Did I say that right?
CWIT.
CWIT, okay. Is an organization for emerging and established professionals that provide human connections and resources for women and girls interested in or associated with technology. Our vision is to bridge the gender gap in tech by providing a safe and welcoming environment for women and girls to connect, learn, and collaborate in Charlottesville. All right, where did the original idea for CWIT come from? And I guess that's going to be Kim.
Yeah, it's going to be me. So, as I said, I had founded Tech Girls in 2012, and then we're getting more and more women involved in helping do workshops and things. And in April 2015, the TomTom Festival was happening, and Vanessa Hurst, who's actually the founder of Girl Development, was going to be there. And I thought, oh, great, let's have a Women in Tech happy hour after her talk. And so I organized that along with Eileen Krepkovich, and we had the event, and there were more men than women that showed up to it.
Uh-oh.
So we have some allies. That's really good news. But, you know, the bad news was, where are these women? We know they're out there. And so that really sparked our drive to found this organization that could provide monthly meetups where women could come together and share their stories, share their experiences, and learn.
And Jessica and Elise, how did you come to be a part of CWIT?
So it was just at that time, I think CWIT had probably had, I don't know, two or three meetups. I'd come back from Germany and decided to get myself into tech, and I just discovered an advertisement for the meetup online, and I came and I saw it was this group of cool women, and I wanted to get to know them. And so I decided to self-legitimize by saying, oh, okay, I'm joining. If you want help organizing, I can help.
Elise?
I found CWIT because of that first GDI class that I took. I got engaged more with that community, and they were sharing out other tech events that were happening. And so someone posted about a salary negotiation panel that they were having. So I went. That was my very first CWIT meetup, and they've had a lot of, you know, different technical and kind of less technical topics, and I've attended a lot of them since then.
All right. Again, from the CWIT website, you've got a little section where you talk about some of the main issues you want to address. And the first one is diversity matters. Jessica, you pointed out that not all women are tokens. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Well, no women are tokens. No, no people.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're founding a company or starting a team and you want to have success, you should realize, as someone founding, that diversity of perspective is a valuable thing. And this has been demonstrated. But as in terms of attracting women to tech careers, saying you can help diversify a team isn't going to personally motivate them, or it doesn't personally motivate me. I think that women should be in tech, or should want to be in tech, for the same reasons men do. Opportunities to make impactful, which is a word I hate, but I'm going to use it anyway, impactful change in the world, and to learn and do challenging and amazing things. When there's an annual unconference, meaning a conference planned by its attendees, here in Charlottesville called B-Camp. And we focused one of our meetups on this event as a preparation for B-Camp, because we wanted to increase the number of women attending this event. And we did it, or we tried to do it, by saying to women, don't come because it's better if B-Camp is diverse. Although that's true, we said, come because the things that happen at this local annual event tend to have a significant afterlife in the community. Come because this is a place where your ideas can have an afterlife in the community.
Elise, comments?
Yeah, I think especially going back to what Jessica said about how women should want to be in tech for the same reasons that men do. One of the things that Ann Lewis, who taught that for Girl Development and founded the chapter, she kind of put a slide up at the end of one of her classes. She was basically like, have you found this class to be really interesting, using tech? Do you want a flexible job that pays you well and allows you to solve really hard problems? And if so, then maybe a career in tech is for you. And I think those are the things that are especially appealing to women. You know, having some flexibility in your schedule can open the doors for a lot of women to get into tech. And being well paid opens a lot of other doors and makes a lot of things easier, so you can kind of focus on what you're working on. So I think those things are really important, and that it's just kind of a no-brainer in that sense that women should want to be in tech if they're interested.
29 minutes past the hour, we're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. You are listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
And just to go back to the diversity part, you know, it's not an easy problem at all for companies to address. And so companies who want to address it really need to be in for the long haul and need to show sort of outward commitment and inward commitment, and, you know, do things as simple as on their websites and in their marketing material for jobs, you know, show different genders, different races, things like that. So it's really got to be a mindset shift, I think, for those that are taking it seriously, because it's hard work. And yeah.
On your website, there's a bullet that says, "Are men in tech allowed?" Anybody?
So it's difficult to have an organization that's set up primarily for women, because that does create some backlash. And backlash doesn't have to be, you know, riots. It could just be people rolling their eyes. I mean, there's so many tech meetups in town. So we face an additional hurdle, because there's fewer women, at least for now, interested in tech. So if you want to have a good attendance at your meetup, you know, you have to choose. It's there's so much going on. Women are busy. Women are more likely to have childcare responsibilities. So it's hard to draw, you know, a huge turnout for every tech meetup that we do. But at the same time, if you go to any other given tech meetup that's open to everyone, I've been to many where I'm one of maybe 2-3 women in the entire room. And there's a lot of people who find that off-putting. So it's a double-edged sword. I feel that we've done some amazing meetups. We've gotten great people to come, give us their time, you know, share their expertise. And sometimes I feel, men need to hear this too. This would be a great meetup for everyone. So we're trying to do several things. We're trying to multi-track. We're trying to, you know, help women and girls get interested. We're trying to provide meaningful technical content that highlights the contributions of women. And we're also trying to provide a safe space, a women-only space, where women can network. I mean, if you have a group of people in a room, and after the tech talk, the only people in the room are women, well, women are going to ask the questions. If you have a group filled with men and there's 5 women in the room, men are going to ask the questions. That's just it tends to go that way.
Mm. Please talk a little bit about the CWIT leadership. How does leadership work inside your organization?
Well, we have a board that has different responsibilities. So we've got the president, Eileen Krupkevich, Jessica O'Tay, who's the vice president. I do outreach. Elaine Cheng does sponsorship. Aaron Miller's a treasurer. Who else? Oh, we just added Alexis Mason and Maddie. I can't say her. What's her last name?
Rhonda.
Thank you. So we meet monthly and we plan, you know, we usually have these monthly meetups. So that's part of our planning process. And then through outreach, I bring in the Tech Girls programming that we do that people help with planning for that.
We are all volunteer, and we know that we're at the point now where we realize to scale, we're trying to raise money to hire a part-time staff person so we can.
So you can grow.
So we can grow.
Yeah, sure. I see you have a kind of a jobs board on your site. How does a local employer get on if he's got a job that might be suitable of interest to you? How does he get on the job board?
So if you sponsor our organization, then you have access to, you can post a job on our site. And we have several local sponsors to whom we're really grateful. And that's one of the benefits of becoming a Women in Tech sponsor.
And if someone wants to become a Women in Tech sponsor, how do they do that?
They should visit our website, where they will find the information to contact Elaine.
You talked briefly about your meetings. We've sort of gotten in and out talking about your meetings, but I'd like to talk about them a little bit more formally. How often do you have them? What are the topics? You know, just lead us through what's coming up in the meetings. Lead us through that. Jessica.
So Lisa actually alluded to this. We've done tech-focused talks where we present content at, you know, we make content approachable. And so we've done everything from don't be an April Fool, you know, how to secure your computer. We've done presentations on biomedical science, technology. We've done DevOps, which is the field that I'm in. We've done mobile applications. We've done cybersecurity. We've done Internet of Things. We've had hands-on, you know, playable tech, wearable tech. So we've done a variety of technology-focused meetups. We've also done a variety of career-focused meetups, which have been particularly popular. We've done how to rewrite your resume, how to find your tech speaking voice, so about public speaking and going to conferences, how to salary negotiation, which was totally eye-opening. Apparently, the percentage of women who negotiate for their, you know, salary and benefits when they take a job is minuscule compared to basically every man who does that. And that was news to me, totally.
Right.
So we've done a variety of, we have social events twice a year, June and December. We also try to do our January meetup as sort of a larger mixed-gender event. We did a meeting on implicit bias, which was, we filled the room. Everyone wants, that's a very hot topic right now.
Sure.
So we try to do a monthly meetup of some sort, whether it's, sometimes it's, you know, we collaborate, we basically shift our audience, our membership, to go check out the Tech Girl side of the house. We try to do at least one thing a month.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds like the meetings are more to pique the interest of its attendees. They're not really educational as such. You don't offer you don't offer an HTML course or Elise.
So while these are kind of one-off meetups for CWIT, what I find is most helpful is that it helped me grow my vocabulary. I think that's one of the most intimidating things as women are getting into tech, is that someone throws around DevOps and React and Raspberry Pi, and like there's all these things, and you're like, are they foods or are they? So I think what really helped was I went to a bunch of CWIT talks about things I had no idea about, and while I didn't necessarily deep dive into all of those topics, I felt like it expanded my vocabulary in the tech scene, and that made going to other meetups less intimidating because I could say, well, oh, I've heard about DevOps before. I may not know everything about it, but I've heard about that topic before. And I think while it's not a class, you're not sitting down and doing DevOps, it expands your vocabulary. And I think that is one of the most impactful things that CeeWhat does.
And at least tell us what a Raspberry Pi is.
So a Raspberry Pi is a very economical computer that you can do just a ton of things. There are a lot of different projects that you can do online. I actually bought one. My husband is a pilot, so he set it up such that it tracks the different planes that are flying over our house all the time. And so he can pull things up on a computer screen, and we see all the planes that are in the area. So I'm sure Jessica and Kim can tell you a ton of other projects, but that's just one that I've worked on.
That's cool. Kim?
So, also, we knew that Girl Develop It provides awesome workshops, so we didn't want to duplicate that effort. So that's why ours are more focused on one-off learning, sort of introductory stuff, maybe introducing to a topic, providing network opportunities, but then we definitely highlight other workshop activities that are in the area, like Girl Develop It.
A little less than a minute to go before we need to break. Tell me about the Seville Slack team. First of all, tell us about Slack.
Yes.
And then tell us about the Seville Slack team.
So, right. Slack is a productivity tool, which sounds like a misnomer, but it actually stands for, I learned this at B-Camp, it stands for the soul list. It's basically where you... of all content and knowledge. The single list of all content and knowledge.
Oh, that
it's
good.
Maybe. It's a productivity tool designed to be used by a company or an organization. It replaces email, so it's like chat. So it's much more, it cuts down all the overhead of email because it looks like chat.
Right.
And so after B-Camp 2 years ago, Ron Duplain, a local tech person, started, because there's a free tier. It's a company, so you pay if you want to have all the features. But there's a free tier. And he started one that in just a matter of months was, you know, it eclipsed the membership of the local IRC, Internet Relay Chat, which had been sort of the tech sort of go-to since time immemorial. And so now we have, I think, over 700 local or at least Charlottesville loyal people on this on the Slack, and it's great because it's the barrier to entry is so much lower than, say, the barrier to entry to Internet Relay Chat. So you can just I use it all the time at work. I actually expose my ignorance on a regular basis. I'm always asking people, can somebody explain, you know, what this tool, the jargon is so awful in tech. Yeah. The other day I learned the difference between a web server and a web application server, and I was like, oh, thanks.
41 minutes past the hour, we're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Stream us live online at 947wpvc.org or on your mobile device via TuneIn. After the break, we'll talk about how you can help girls and women find a career in technology. I'm Dan Gould, sitting in for Rick Moore. Please stay with us. We're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. Just before the break, we were talking about Slack, and Jessica, you had something else you wanted to add to that.
So the local Seville Slack team, because it's a team, you can't just join, but you can send yourself an invitation. So you can just, you can invite yourself. You can do that by following the following link. It's bit.ly, so bit.ly/Seville-Slack.
Excellent. And that's open to anybody in the Charlottesville tech community, men, women?
Anyone listening to the sound of our voices can join the Slack.
See, you obviously think our sound doesn't go that far.
I don't know why someone in a random place in the United States would want to hear about Charlottesville tech people, but if they do...
That's cool. All right, so in the final segment of our program, I want to talk more about where do we go from here? How do we make inroads to find more places for women in technology? You've got some recent and upcoming projects and events. The first one is B-Camp that I wanted to talk about. Kim, Jessica, okay.
So B-Camp is an annual tech unconference. It was 2 weeks ago now? It wasn't 2 weeks ago. So it happens every fall. I actually sort of got talked into co-organizing it for next year. So keep your eyes open. B-Camp is a lot of people's favorite tech-associated event of the year.
And can you tell us a little bit more about it? What you just had one, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So
what happened?
It's an unconference. People on Friday night, everyone has pizza and beer, and you gather and you pitch. You say, I think we should talk about this. And this could be how to retire early. This could be, I want to talk about the latest, you know, JavaScript language. It could be whatever. And then people vote. And then what people vote on is organized into a conference that then takes place the next day.
That is so cool. I'd like to know how to retire early. Elise.
It sounds so strange when you first hear about it, but then you get there and you start talking with folks, and I was a little bit timid to go to it the first time, but now that I've been to one, I would very much recommend going to Beat Camp.
Great. Kim?
So I've been to Beat Camp a couple of times, and it's an awesome experience. And it's actually, that model is now done in education as well. It's called EdCamp. So it's really cool to see, yeah.
All right. What is the eSTEAM Summit?
So that is something that just happened last weekend. And it's for the organizers and myself. We got inspired by the She Started It film, which is a film that follows five women entrepreneurs in technology in Silicon Valley and their sort of ups and downs and challenges. And the filmmaker came to TomTom last April, and we showed the film at St. Anne's Belleville School and had a panel. And a lot of us saw it and were inspired, and we really wanted to get girls, K-12 girls, their parents, and then like all these other organizations that are doing things not necessarily in technology. So eSTEAM is entrepreneurship, science, technology, engineering, art, and math. So it's like all the above. But those are all areas where women are underrepresented, amazingly enough. And so we wanted to kind of get this event where all these players came together, and it was hugely successful. We wanted to start small. We had over 150 girls, plus their parents came last Saturday. They got to go to a screening. Nora Pogge, the filmmaker, came. We had panel discussions. We had a career bingo where I think 40 women came out and interacted with the girls and shared about their careers. We had workshops. So it was just a really awesome opportunity for girls to see these role models and mentors and get connected, and for us to get connected to each other so we can help raise awareness of the issue, but also start putting real plans in place for addressing it.
Is there an age demographic for these meetings?
So with Tech Girls, so that was K through 12. That was the whole gamut of school age girls, but through Tech Girls we have a variety of programs. We have Girls Geek Day, which are Saturday morning programs. They run once a month in schools throughout the Charlottesville area, and that's geared toward K through 5 girls. The idea there is to spark their interest and to let them see that, hey, this is something they can do. It's fun, it's collaborative, and here's other girls that are doing it. And then we have Yes We Tech, which is just going to be kicking off actually October 18th for middle school girls. So that's actually an area where we've needed to create some programming. And so we're going to have an open house at Open Source Connections to bring in middle school girls, high school and college girls who we actually want to run the workshops, and then anybody else, women in tech that would like to help facilitate that. So we're going to be kicking that off. And then the final program we have is called Biomed Tech Girls, and that is a collaboration with UVA Biomedical Engineering, and it's a program that has happened in the summer, and we just had our fourth iteration of it. And that's, again, geared toward high school girls, hugely successful. They not only get to get behind-the-scenes tours of labs, but they actually work on a real project to solve a real problem that's in BME right now.
I was wondering if you could talk about older women, women who are now empty nesters and perhaps abandoned a career earlier to raise a family. What kind of opportunities can you see for them in tech, Elise?
So Girl Develop It teaches classes to anyone over the age of 18 that wants to learn programming. And we have a very wide age range of folks that take our classes. In fact, at the GDI Atlanta chapter, there was a woman who was 80 years old and was a grandmother. And she came to one of their classes on mobile web development and made an iPhone app. So we teach technical skills to women of all ages, and that's something that we're really passionate about. So we aren't necessarily your entire journey of getting into tech, but we like to teach software programming skills to those women. So Girl Develop It is exclusively focused on teaching those skills to women. So you can find us on meetup.com.
Great. The CBIC tour, what's that all about?
Oh, so Charlotte's Business Innovation Council. So I happen to be the chair of the tech tour. It's a really awesome day. I don't know of any other program like it. It brings together 400 to 500 middle and high school students throughout the region. So we have people from Nelson and Goochland and Orange County, plus Charlottesville, Albemarle County. This year we're going to have 35 buses, which is more buses than we've ever had. And they get to tour tech-related businesses and organizations throughout the community. It's on October 10th, and so for that day, they'll get to visit a couple different sites and get behind the scenes of those organizations. So it's really, again, kids really have no idea what careers in technology look like, and so this is a great opportunity for them to see that and make a connection with it.
Coming up on 10 minutes before the hour, we're talking with Kim Wilkins, Jessica Otey, and Elise Kane about their work with Charlottesville Women in Tech. You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'd like to talk now about how people can get involved with CWIT, not just as participants, but as organizers and leaders. First question I have for you is, how can girls and women interested in tech connect with you?
So we have basically two ways to do that. So for tech girls, I've got a website, tech-girls.org. And through that website, you can contact us. But there's also a monthly newsletter that we put out. And that will have all of the events that are upcoming in the region that have anything to do with tech for K-12 kids. So, you know, I even encourage people with sons to subscribe to it, because it's not just for girls. But that is the way to get connected with tech girls.
All right, Jessica?
For CWIT, we have a website, sevillewomen.tech. T-E-C-H. Do I need to spell that? And you can opt in. You can find out we obviously summarize what events are coming up. But we also have a form on there where you can sign up to join our mailing list. And on our mailing list, you can rest assured that you'll be notified of all upcoming events. And we also do a mini newsletter at monthly summary that will inform you about other related tech events locally.
And is your newsletter mostly about upcoming events, or are there just stories of interest to women and girls in there?
Yeah, so in Tech Girls, we also spotlight a woman and girl in tech every month. So, you know, to kind of give some inspiration. And then there's also a sort of blog post news article associated with each episode.
Issue.
Thank you. Yeah. of the Tech Girls newsletter.
Now, I'm a little bit confused. What's the difference between CWIT and Tech Girls?
So it's really the populations they serve, but Tech Girls is underneath the umbrella of Charlottesville Women in Tech.
Okay. If you're a young girl, and how old do you have to be a tech girl?
So K through 12th grade.
K through 12th. Okay. So if you want to become a tech girl, what do you do?
So you go to tech-girls.org, and on that website, you'll find a way to connect to us.
Excellent. What if I want to serve on a CWIT committee? How do people get involved at
yes,
that?
Yes, please.
How do you get to that level in your organization?
You can self-select yourself for wonderful service. All you have to do is either show up at a meeting and talk to one of us, or write to us via the website.
And isn't there a category on the website now where they can sign up?
There's
for
a category
things.
That
yes.
says, write to us and come join the board. info@sevillewomen.tech.
So in other words, everybody's welcome. Do you need to have a background in tech to be a part of that?
No, you just need to be willing to, you know, help organize. And it's a lot of, I mean, anyone who's been involved in an organization knows that it's just a lot of logistics and a lot of planning, and many hands make light work.
At least you've been kind of quiet over there. Is there anything you wanted to add to this process?
Well, I'm not formally on the CWIT organizing committee,
But she does volunteer and I maintain our website.
I do. I run the Girl Develop It chapter. And so you can get in touch with us and join us on meetup.com. And we also have a Slack group as well where folks can come ask questions, specifically coding questions if they're struggling with something, and kind of a very supportive environment for that. So you don't have to kind of put your question out there for the internet trolls to get you.
Right. And Elise, did I read earlier that you're self-taught, your web expertise is self-taught?
Yeah, well, so it's not any one thing, but I started out, the spark came from Girl Develop It classes. So I took classes in HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and GitHub. And then I studied on my own for a good long time, and I also went to a coding boot camp in D.C. as well. So it's kind of a combination of a ton of different things, and self-study was a huge part of that.
Great. I want to go back to talking about young girls again, and there's this study from 2016, a study of 21,500 eighth graders that found that 45% of the girls were proficient at using their skills to solve real-world technology and engineering scenarios, compared with 42% of boys. So that's 45% of girls, 42% of boys. And yet, women received slightly less than just 20% of engineering degrees awarded in the United States in 2014. How are we losing girls along the way? What's going on there?
So the Girl Scouts recently did a study that showed that, yes, the girls are interested. They like these subjects. But the three things they found is they don't want to be the only girl in the class. They think that their peers are not interested. And they think they'd have to work twice as hard to be taken seriously as a male student. So these are all pretty ginormous problems that are holding girls back from studying in those fields.
And so how do we surmount those problems? How do we get women to understand that they can be equals in this field?
Well, I mean, I think that's what we're all about, right? And the ways that we're trying to do that are offer opportunities for girls to come together, to learn things together, to build that community together. What we're trying to do is spark interest, build a community, help them build their tech identity, and give them that sense of belonging, because we have to get those things right before they're willing to take this next step.
Sure. Jessica?
We have to basically ungender the tech term. We've discovered this even naming. I thought when we named our organization Charlotte's Women in Tech that it was sort of self-evident that any woman could identify with us. But I've found repeatedly that women tell me, even women who I know who work with like sophisticated video editing software, say, "I'm not a woman in tech." And I was like, "Why?" Right. There's no such thing as a non-tech person. And I think so many women are so... They're ready. I mean, so many people, but women especially are so willing to declare themselves not a tech person. You have a smartphone. You drive a car with a computer in it. You're a tech person. Whether you like it or not, you live in a world that is determined by tech. So you're a tech person. There's so much. Most of what we need to do is we need to educate, but we also need to demystify. There's so many stereotypes about you need to do it since you were eight. You need to know everything. You need to be alone in your basement. All these are just, they're just wrong. It's not true. So yes, we tech. That's where that expression comes from.
And what would you say to a woman or a man, for that matter, that says, "Oh, you know, I don't understand my cell phone. I don't understand my DVR. I don't understand this." How do you get across to them that it's just a matter of learning something, that there's not an inherent wall that prevents them from getting there?
Right. Well, I face this often in classes I teach that kids are like, "Well, I'm not very good at that." I'm like, "Well, have you ever done it?" You know, so it's really reiterating to folks that, you know, you're learning a new skill. So it's not going to be easy. For some people, it looks easy, but maybe they've been doing it longer than you. So just getting over that idea that you should just magically be good at something because...
It's because they took away the manuals. When software used to come with manuals,
that's true,
and you used to have to read them, that people people throw about on the internet all the time, because people will ask questions, and they will not have even made the first effort to read the documentation that comes even with the operating system.
Sure.
There's a, literally a command, which is ironically abbreviated as man. There is a man command, and it's the for manual, because all the shell programs are documented. And admittedly, reading documentation is not fun. But when they took away the manuals from, you know, your iPhone doesn't come with a manual anymore. It just comes with the Get Started Guide. So now there's this horrible thing that has happened where people who have not been provided with the instructions now think that they're stupid because they don't automatically know how to use their phone. But it's actually not that way. It's the other way around. You have to learn how to use your phone. It's just the company is now doesn't want to provide that, you know, doesn't want to provide you with the learning tools. You have so then you have to go to your community, you go to friends. I mean, you know, my parents come to me or, you know, we go to our kids or...
Our time is gone. Can you believe it? It's that time went so fast. Thank you all for coming in. I want to go over the URLs again where people can find you. I'll just run through the whole list.
Okay. So tech-girls.org is where you can find all tech girls.
SeavilleWomen.tech is where you can find CWIT.
And search for Central Virginia Girl Develop It on meetup.com.
Thank you all for coming in and spending an hour with us so early on a Sunday morning. It's been great talking to you. It's been fun. I hope you come back and see us again another time.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Production assistance and engineering from Sean McCord and Mike Friend. Be sure to join Rick next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for the Wake Up Call, only on WPVC LP Charlottesville.